In John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus says this, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. You know, we tend to think of these darkest places in the world being so far away on the other side of the planet, kind of like the Wolof people we just heard about. But right here in the United States, there are hundreds of thousands of people walking in darkness without the hope of Jesus. And we're going to hear about some of those folks. Preston and Megan Egler, would you join me on the stage, please? Preston and Megan moved from Douglasville, Georgia to Anchorage, Alaska. Now, he's a Florida boy like I am. I'm pretty sure that's as far you can get from Florida in the United States as possible. Is that right?
That's true.
I'm supposed to ask this before we start. How tall are you, actually?
officially 6'8".
Okay, so that's really tall. So anyway, so you moved to plant a church and you serve at-risk students. So first, Preston, I would love for folks to hear your story. Tell us a little bit about your personal story, how you came to Christ, and how God called you into the ministry you're now in.
I came to Christ at a young age of 7. But when that happened, that was basically it. I made the decision, but I never really developed a relationship with God that everybody needs to grow as we're supposed to and become disciples. So I really was just left at that until I was 16 and we moved to Douglasville, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. Most of y'all probably know that. At that point, I became a little bit bitter because I was moved away from where I grew up. And I started going down the wrong path, making bad decisions, hanging out with the wrong people, and letting them influence me. That led to a lot of things that I shouldn't get into, drinking, which led to drugs, and that just really kind of went way off track. At 25 years old, I went to prison for 3.5 years for drug trafficking. At that point, I knew it was God finally stepping in and saying, I want you to make a decision now which way you're going to go. And I told him, I said, you've got me. Whatever it is that you want from me, but you have to show me and teach me how this goes, because I didn't know any way to even get back to God at all. And he was very faithful to do that, and he gave me the 3.5 years that I spent in prison to grow closer to him, to give me my calling, and to really learn from him and how to teach. And when I got out, I met Megan, who had recently moved back from Alaska. And she told me when we went on our first date that she wanted to move back to Alaska one day, and I told her it would be with somebody else. And God certainly does have a sense of humor, as he proves, because that's where we are now. We moved up there to work with at-risk youth, and he's using my story of how I turned my back on God, and I wandered away, and I ignored all the voices that were trying to point me in the right direction. And he used everything that I went through now to reach kids who are heading in that direction, who are already well into that, to pour into their lives, to pour love on them that we've been given, and to really try to help turn them around and show them the light. Megan's got a similar story as well herself. But that's where God has placed us and where he continues to grow our influence there as we planted a church about a year ago. But that's how I came to the point of meeting God again. He just stepped back into my life when I wasn't seeking him. You know, just as the word says, there's nothing in man that seeks after God, but he seeks after us, and he never gave up on me.
Amen. And Megan, he mentioned your story is similar. For lack of time, you struggled with abuse growing up and drugs and alcohol growing up. Tell us, because of your stories, why Anchorage? What is the need in Alaska?
Okay, so Alaska, Anchorage, specifically the neighborhood that we are in, it is the most diverse community in the United States as of 2017. That was what they said last year. Every year a new city comes out, but that was last year's. And so with that comes a lot of poverty. There's a lot of abuse there, a lot of substance abuse, a lot of neglect. And so God is really allowing us, actually there's 100 languages spoken in the local high school. And so really it's like reaching the world in one neighborhood. It's really very unique, but God has allowed us the opportunity there to use our story to reach these people. And I don't know if I have time, but there's, you know, over in the summertime especially, we have the opportunity to go out in the parks and really be with the kids. And I mean, there's kids out there that are just left all day long in the same diaper with no shoes on. I mean, clothes that are four times too small, holes in them, and just, I mean, there's truly neglect and abuse. And I mean, sometimes that's the only meal they get all day. And so really, we're given the opportunity to use all of our story, which is truly a gift that God takes things, whether it's what we chose to go through or things that we were born into or whatever it was, when we've been open-handed with it, God is using it all now for His glory to reach people that are going through similar situations.
So that leads me really to our next question. We have a team that will be heading up there the week of July 4th. First time we'll send a team to partner with you guys this summer. Tell us what they'll be doing specifically with your ministry.
Okay, so we, every summer, June and July, we work with mission teams that come up. And it's a different mission team every week, and they take a break. And so you guys are going to be coming up during that break. And really, we're going to be going out in the parks and continuing building those relationships with the kids and their families. We do a park party with the mission teams that come up once a week, and that really is an opportunity to get to meet the families. They come out and they eat dinner and build relationships there, and it's also 4th of July, so we'll be doing an event with the 4th of July, and then we are also getting in with the local school systems there, which is a great opportunity for us to stay in contact with the families and the kids during the school year. So that way in cold months when nobody is outside, we can still stay in daily contact with the families. And so we'll also be doing just serving them and serving the school, serving the teachers, serving the families there, prepping for the new school year that will be coming.
So. And tell us just briefly the weather about that time when our team comes.
The average is like 75, and you will get a tan, I promise you. It's not... It's not like you're going to be pale coming up there, staying out in the parks and stuff. So
there is a little card inside your worship guide that gives you information about the dates. If you are interested in joining that team, we are limited to only 12 spots, so first come, first serve. And you can see myself or Miss Karen or Brother Don if you're interested in that. But one last question, Preston. Tell us, beyond us sending a team to you in June, July, how can we partner with the Egler family and Adolfo, which is the name of
Adelfoy.
Okay. Just tell them what that means, since I can't say it. Why'd you name your church Adelfoy?
Adelfoy is Greek for brothers and sisters, and it's used in the New Testament. So in that context, it's brothers and sisters in Christ. And that really ties into part of the vision and mission of our church, which is unity among the body, which we are definitely experiencing here. And it's not just our body, it's the body of Christ. So that is definitely something that we try to portray in everything that we do, that we are connected, and we definitely feel connected here with you. We appreciate that opportunity.
So how can they partner with you?
Partnering with us, definitely prayer. That is first and foremost over everything. We should definitely be prayerful about anything that we approach and we want to get involved in. There are some, we definitely have financial needs that we could use the support in. We are a growing church. We're about 12 to 15 people right now that are intentionally invested in everything that we do. They really have some hearts on fire for Jesus and what He's doing. We also have a building that we are trying to procure. We're trying to purchase. It's well above anything that we have the resources for. But we are trying to raise the funds, and we'll also be having, once we get that building, we'll be having teams come up to help us restore that building to what we need for it to operate.
Amen. Well, let's pray for you now. Can we do that? Father, I thank you for this sweet family. God, I thank you for the reminder that you use our story, regardless of how ugly or messed up it may seem to us at the time. You use every bit of our story to build our testimony, to be able to share the love of Jesus with everybody we come in contact with. So I pray for Preston and Megan and their daughters, God, that you would guide them in the days ahead as they serve this diverse people group in Anchorage. God, allow us to not only pray for them, but to partner with them financially, to go this summer and to serve with them, to encourage them. And Father, I thank you for the reminder that you're calling us all around the world, in the United States and beyond, to serve the darkest corners of this planet, to bring the light of Jesus, to shine our light wherever we go. So God, would you bless them and guide them in the days ahead? We love you, Lord, and we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Egglers. And now someone you're very familiar with, Ms. Sharon Ainsworth, would you join me on the stage, please? Ms. Sharon, as you know, is with the Real Life Pregnancy Resource Ministries. She's no stranger to FPC. So this is a brand new ministry that you've got going on called Fatherhood Initiative, right? What can you tell us about Fatherhood Initiative?
Well, first of all, hi, Chris. We miss you. Thank you for all you do for Real Life. And he's our board president, so we just appreciate him. Amen. Hope you're doing well. So in September, I attended, along with five others from the Pregnancy Center, a CareNet convention in Atlanta. And CareNet is like our umbrella protection, really worldwide. They help pregnancy centers worldwide be able to better facilitate us, keep us up to date with all the laws changing, and just to encourage us. And so there was just a real focus this year on fathers and why we need to be ministering to them. So I cannot tell you how strongly I felt the Lord saying, you need to do this. And I thought I knew who was going to be leading it. And because just they had put their application in saying that if we ever needed anybody, that this is what they wanted to do, something like this. So I was all excited. So I go back and I'm talking to one of the counselors, and she said, I think my father-in-law would be perfect at this. And I went, oh, okay. So I hadn't mentioned it to anyone. So I went before the board, talked to them. They were all excited. And so it just so happened that her father-in-law, John Patton, who is a retired engineer in ARAP, had just retired. And he was asking God to give him a ministry to disciple fathers. I get kind of emotional when I think about this, how God works. And so he said, I called him and talked to him on the phone, and he said, well, yeah, I want to come down and talk to you. Can I come tomorrow? And I went, well, sure. So he comes down, and we're talking, and he says, I have been praying that God would open a door like this. And as we talked, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt he was the man. So I kind of said, well, you know, it's the end of October, and Christmas is coming, Thanksgiving, so why don't we just, you know, wait till January to start? He goes, no. I want to start right now. I went, okay. So, you know, when God calls you to do something, he's ready then.
Amen.
So we started the program in November, and he went down to Vestavia Save a Life and shadowed their fatherhood program. Learned a lot. We were very thankful for that time. He came back and he told me what we were going to do. And started getting the word out to some of the youth ministers and just pastors that we'd be doing this. And Lee Fleming was one of them. He goes, oh my goodness, I know a perfect guy for this program. And he said 4 months ago his wife, well, they were fixing to get married. His fiance was killed in a car wreck, and he is left with a 1 and 2 year old to raise. And he was just telling me he needed help being a father. Mm. His name is Blake, and he was our first father to come to the program. We now have 4 attending faithfully. I talked to Blake yesterday. I said, Blake, I'm going to share your story. Is that okay? He went, oh, yeah.
Amen.
He said, you know, I had become a Christian, but I just really didn't really have that deep relationship with God. He says, now I have that deep relationship with God. I love reading his word. And you know what, Sharon, I love being a dad. I didn't love being a dad before. I didn't know how to be a dad. And you talk about being overwhelmed, being a single dad. And he said, I cannot tell you, this program has changed my life.
Amen.
And so definitely this is the highlight of the year. And Dads Do Matter. That's the name of our program, Dads Matter. And, you know, the statistics show that 86% of abortions occur to unmarried women. And 6 out of 10 women say that the number one influence in them choosing abortion is the dad of that baby. Mm. So what this program is doing, it is discipling fathers, first and foremost, on how to have a strong relationship with the Lord so they can lead their families. It's also teaching them that marriage is sacred and a covenant from the Lord, and that it is to be valued, and that they need to be marrying these women that they're involved with. It's also enabling these fathers to be the dads that God's called them to be. And this is so exciting. I believe this was a big missing piece of our ministry. And God's put that perfect little puzzle in there now, piece of the puzzle. So that is, right now we have 4 faithfully attending. And when I say faithfully, I mean faithful. Like, if John's going to be out of town, they go, well, can we meet another night? I mean, they love this man. And God has just given him a gift. And so we feed him a man's meal. No chicken salad.
Amen.
Got those wings and pizza. And they meet. Oh, and this is another thing I have to share. That we said, okay, now it's an hour long. He goes, oh, okay, well, I'm a little bit nervous, you know, meeting for an hour. I said, no. I said, it's an hour long. The first night in since November, they meet 2.5 hours. Mm. They can't get enough of it.
Amen.
And so thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. So what does it cost to sponsor a dad through the whole program?
Yes. Well, it costs $25 a session. But let me tell you what we're doing with this. A lot of our dads, a couple of them in the group, they barely have enough money to get there because of gas. So we give them a $10 gift card to Walmart when they come. We give them the man's meal, and then the materials are that they will all take these materials home with them. And the book that they're going through, there's 5 different books in the session.
Gotcha. So some of you could be a sponsor of a dad today. You could stop by the Real Life Pregnancy booth that's in our venue after the service or this evening and make that happen. So one more thing, we've got empty baby bottles that'll be out there at your booth as well. Tell us how those, the money that we put in those baby bottles, how those will make a difference in 2019.
Yeah. Well, in a lot of ways. For the first time, of course, this will help fund the dads program. Shannon Cole, our nurse manager down in Guntersville, is a vital part of this ministry and one of your own. She knows firsthand the needs. We see a lot of the poorest of the poor at the pregnancy center. So we are giving out needs to moms. We have a great relationship with the hospital, DHR, just different organizations that might have a mom that needs something. What's so exciting, though, is that when they come in for a need, they are being told about the Lord, and so the gospel is being shared. And then not only that, but we're asking churches to come alongside of us, and we're plugging them into churches so they can be discipled. And we're also doing some discipling through Bible studies with our clients. It's just pretty amazing to me that God keeps putting it back. We get all these great donations, and we give them away, and then he just keeps bringing them back. And so, but this helps with buying the big items that we reward the moms with when they go through the program. We have parenting classes. We have a new class now for sexual abuse of healing. Statistics show that 1 in 3 women have had sexual abuse in their past. So we have, this is new also at our center, so we will be doing this. So just being able to reward these women for the time that they have when they come in. The needs are great in our community.
Amen.
And so I'm thankful that God is using those needs for these women to be able to hear the gospel and to know that God is providing, that he loves them, and that so even God uses poverty for his glory.
So it's fair to say your ministry, and thank you for what you do, really is a well-rounded ministry to help the moms, the fathers who may not be in the picture, as well as the unborn children.
Absolutely.
We're so thankful for that. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for Miss Sharon and the work she does for our community. God, I pray for these moms, for these dads who may be absent fathers or not, and for these unborn children, God, that you would use this ministry specifically to disciple these folks, that you would allow us to partner with them and help them and resource them so they can further your love to those who really need it most. So God, give them the strength in the days ahead, especially for this fatherhood initiative, because we do believe that fathers matter. So God, your will be done in the days ahead. And thank you again for Ms. Sharon and all that she does with the Pregnancy Center. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. All right, this guy is no stranger to you, Josh Moody. Would you join me on the stage? Josh and his family returned from Uganda this past summer. And where are you going? No, on the, in the chair. On the, okay. I'm afraid to give you this. You returned this past summer from Uganda, and we were honored to partner with you during your time of service. Tell us about your new ministry.
So we are back in Birmingham. We were in northern Uganda for a little over 2 years. You guys, a lot of you are familiar with us, and I didn't realize until we were talking earlier this morning how long that we've been a part of this this conference, and we really, we missed, I think, a couple of years while we were overseas, but just really enjoy coming every year. But I'm with Lifeline Children's Services now in Birmingham. We're based out of Birmingham. Some of you may be familiar with Lifeline, some of you may not be. Lifeline is really a, we call it a holistic ministry that cares for orphans and vulnerable children. We do international and domestic adoptions. We do foster care. We do pregnancy counseling. The area of ministry that I am in is called Unadopted. And Unadopted is really a strategic international orphan care ministry. The basis for Unadopted is that there are 153 million orphans worldwide. And when you include vulnerable children into that category, it soars to over 200 million.
Wow.
The reality is that only 0.5% of these children ever even have the opportunity to be adopted. So while adoption is part of the solution, clearly it's not the only solution. And so what Unadopted does is walk alongside local churches, local pastors, local ministries overseas in training and equipping and preparing them to care for orphans and vulnerable children in their own communities. We feel that it is the church's responsibility. God gave that mandate to the church to care for orphans. He didn't give it to governments. He didn't give it to humanitarian organizations. He gave it to the church. And so we want churches to recognize the call in Scripture to care for the orphan and the vulnerable child, and then walk alongside our international partners as they do that. Really, the local church has a, they can make a much more widespread impact into their communities than we ever can from Birmingham, Alabama.
And specifically, how can people partner with you in that?
So there are several different ways to partner with Unadopted and with Lifeline. Obviously, you can pray. I mean, that sounds like the churchy answer, right? We're supposed to give that answer, but it's But it's the truth. I mean, that I believe we would all agree that that carries more weight than any amount of money that you can ever send to any of these guys that are here today. You can go with us. Unadopted takes over 20 trips a year to various parts of the world. I lead several of them throughout Africa and Haiti and some different places. We go through Central and South America. We have partners in Europe. And so you can go with us. Or you can partner with us financially. I mean, you can give to Lifeline. Unadopted has a child sponsorship program right now. Our child sponsorships are through a girls' home that we work with in Pakistan, through a school that we partner with in the Busega community of Kampala, Uganda, called the Busega Community School for the Deaf and Blind. And so our pastor partner there started this school and reaches out to deaf and blind children. And on our table out there, there's some more information on those things.
Awesome. So speaking of Africa, Yancey Carpenter is with you. Yancey, join us on the stage if you don't mind. So Yancey now works with Four Corners Ministries. Can you tell us a little about your role with Four Corners serving in Uganda?
Sure. Four Corners exists to reach hard-to-reach people groups with the gospel of Jesus in northern Uganda and South Sudan. And I've been volunteering with Four Corners since 2006, and most recently, the last 2 years, served as board chairman. And due to a need for gospel clarity and pastors to be trained, our previous president, Chris Mobbs, who I think some of y'all have met and know, went back to Havana's Hope in Uganda full-time to head up a pastor training center, which left a vacancy here. And I work for a large corporation and have for the last 20 years, and it has always been my heart's desire to, when, you know, 20, 25 years from now, when I didn't need a paycheck and my 401k was in good shape and all that stuff, that I would volunteer full-time for Four Corners. But just seeing the need, most recently in Uganda, God moved up my timeline.
Amen.
And so as
funny
Chris,
how he does that.
It is funny how he does that. And I had to walk through some things like, well, do you really trust in me or in your health benefits? Do you really trust in me to provide for you, or do you trust in your retirement? So, but God's been so good to us as my wife, and we've got three children, 6, 5, and 1, as we walk through that. And I'm so excited to be able to give my life to what God's doing at Four Corners. And it's God's mission. And either I trust him or I don't, you know. That's yeah. And we do. And so we're so excited to be able to be a part of what he's doing in northern Uganda. And what brought all this about, November a year ago, I was on a team in the refugee camps. Many of you know there's been a civil war in South Sudan that has forced over 1.5 million South Sudanese refugees across the Ugandan border. And so we went on a team just to preach through 9 Marks Gospel Clarity and teach in these camps. We were at Bidi Bidi Camp, and then we went to a camp called Adjumani, and the IMB missionary there had asked us to help him assess this camp. So in one day at Adjumani camp, we met with many people. We'd just go and we'd scatter 2 by 2 throughout the camp, and we'd ask, what's your name? You know, how many in your household? What tribe do you belong to? And while we were there, a guy named David Higgins, he walked into this block and asked the man, do you know who Jesus is? And he says, he doesn't live in this block. Maybe he lives in the next block over. And we were just overwhelmed with, people that had never heard the name
of
Jesus. And so we come back to Havana's Hope, which is, you know, like a 2-hour drive from this camp. And we start looking up these tribes that we'd never heard of in peoplegroups.org. And we'd met with 12 different people groups in one day.
Wow.
And we met with the Pari and the Alubo that are considered unengaged with the gospel. And there we were. We'd had access to these people at Adjumani camp. And then the rest of them were, or most of them were, considered unreached with the gospel. So Chris and I, we started talking, what are we going to do? You know, we've got access to these people, and we believe, you know, as Revelation tells us, that every tribe is going to be represented around the throne, worshiping our King Jesus as he deserves. Yeah. And here they are. They don't know him. They've never heard of him. So we came up with this plan of a pastor training center.
Tell us a little bit about that.
The pastor training center is a three-year plan to train and equip indigenous pastors to disciple or to evangelize, disciple, and plant churches that plant churches amongst the refugee camps and the surrounding villages in northern Uganda. We partnered with a group called TLI, Training Leaders International, to do the seminary part, and then we'll have local pastors here to come and teach part of the curriculum. But these men will come to Abana's Hope three times a year for 2 weeks in January, May, and September, and it's a three-year program. But at the end of that three-year program, they will be equipped to evangelize their people and start a church. We're not building brick and mortar. It'll be under shade trees and lean-tos. But that actually started this week, and we had 45 men from multiple tribes that was at Abana's Hope this week that started that Amen. Training, and we're just so excited to be able to invest in these men. And
so you're discipling. Your disciples are making disciples. I've heard of this idea before.
It
works. Is it proven?
Yeah,
Amen.
So.
Well, praise the Lord.
So it's a model we're all familiar with.
Amen. Well, I'm thankful for what you now do with Four Corners, and Josh, we're thankful to be partnering with you for so long. What you now do with Unadopted and Lifeline. So let me pray for you guys. Lord, you're at work all around the world making disciples, and I thank you for these gentlemen and how they represent two organizations that just desire to further that message, to further that method of being disciple makers. I pray specifically for Four Corners, for Yancey and his leadership, for the different missionaries on the ground at Abana's Hope. God, I pray for these 45 pastors in training right now, that you would just pour into them, God, that they would just see your face more than ever before, so they can lead so many others to you, that the gospel would reach the ends of the earth, literally. God, thank you for Josh and the Moody family and what they mean to our church family, and how you've been working in him and for all the work they've done in Uganda, and now that he's continuing his ministry here in the United States, which is reaching the world through Unadopted. And I pray that you would continue to use him and the partnerships they have all around the world for these children that are in need. God, this is who I think of when I learn about a Jesus who talks about the least of these, reaching the least of these. So, Father, use these men, these organizations, and all of us to reach the unreached for your gospel, for your glory. We love you, Lord, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Yancey and Josh. All right, so Ivan, come on down. And Melissa, would you come with him? Where you at? There you are. Let me just say this while they're coming. Ivan, he's here from an area, he's originally from an area in Uganda, several hours south of where Four Corners serves right now. And they have a five-week-old baby, and brought that baby because they love us so much, so that they wouldn't miss this weekend. And we're so excited you're here. So they're here representing Sunrise Ministries. So, Brother Ivan, would you tell us a little bit about Sunrise Ministries?
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah, now you're Africans. I'm a pastor in Uganda, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to have people who are talking about Uganda. Josh Moody is a longtime friend, and he has two sons that came from our orphanage. One of them is here, Mark and Steve. When I see them, I'm really happy. And I thank you for Josh for loving Uganda. And I thank you and the church and Pastor Chris, who is not here. If you are watching, I want to say thank you. And I thank you for being a church that loves missionary, that loves mission. I have traveled a good bit in America, and I've been to many churches, but you have some dead churches here. But I have realized every church here that loves missions is alive. And I see that liveliness here. When you speak about missions, I understand. The reason why I understand it is because I am an outcome of the missionary who went to Uganda. Hmm. I stand here because a missionary went and touched my life. A man came to Uganda back in 1994, started a children's home there. I ended up in this children's home, got to know about Jesus, when he went, many years later, I met another person who paid for me to go to seminary, and my siblings, called Damali, she started a baby's home. And that baby's home, later we had a children's home, which I and Melissa ran. And I also became a pastor, and I'm doing church planting. I'm also training pastors, like my brother is doing. And so I am a result of someone who went many years ago.
Amen.
When the brother was talking about they are planting churches, who are going to plant churches? Someone went, preached the gospel, made me a disciple. I'm also now making disciples.
Amen.
So I want to encourage someone out there in this, whoever is seated, if you are sponsoring a child, if you are sponsoring, like my sister was saying, sponsor father, you might not see the results now. But I guarantee you that one day God is going to you to live long enough to see the fruit of your sacrifice. Because I stand here because I am a fruit of that of someone's sacrifice. I remember one time when I was in the orphanage, I got a letter from my sponsor, the only time I ever found out I had a sponsor. And I remember the joy of finding out I had someone in the U.S. who cared enough about me to pay for me to go to school. I finally did not get the letter, but I did not care. All I cared about that it was someone out there who knew my name and was praying for me, and was paying for me to be in that orphanage. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I wish I can know that person. I would spend all my money to get to the place where they are and tell them thank you.
Mm.
And share with them and tell them how God multiplied their gift. That gift is preaching the gospel right now. Finally, in August, we had the opportunity to fly to Texas. It's not every day that an African goes to Texas. I went to San Francisco. That's a city I see in the movies.
That's not in Texas.
That's in California.
Oh, okay,
yes.
California.
But I'm just saying, okay. Talking about the opportunities I get as an African.
Just making sure.
And so when I was in Texas, I told my wife, I want to be able to go back and see. Daddy Wayne Walker is the man who came to Uganda in 1994. By the way, he had no legs. He lost his legs during the war in Vietnam. And end up in Uganda to take care of us. And so this man is my hero, no legs. And he came and touched many of our lives. And I just wanted to go back to him in Texas and tell him, just share with him what God is doing with our lives, the kids that he invested in. And so I am serving because God loved me, took me in the orphanage. Uganda has so many orphans. Because of the internal conflicts, because of AIDS, because of treatable diseases like malaria that cost about $10, but someone will die because they don't have the money.
Mm.
So we have so many orphans, and so that's why I'm here. And I want to thank you. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for praying for missionaries. You don't know what that means in the kingdom.
Amen. So Melissa, tell us, I don't think you might not be from Africa, but tell us how many children you specifically serve and what it costs to sponsor those children.
We currently have over 800 kids that we're caring for between the schools and the children's home, baby home, and girls' home. In our home particularly, we have 64 kids that we're caring for. We gain 8 more kids in a couple weeks that are graduating up from the baby home. They're aging up. And we have over 300 kids in the children's home school. That's village kids plus our children. It costs about $30 a month, just a basic start cost to sponsor a child on a monthly basis. The child has a personal relationship with you. They're able to write you letters on a monthly basis. You can contact them and send them things for their birthday or if you want to, or you can even come and visit them. For the school, we have a sponsorship of $15 a month to be able to sponsor a child to be able to go to school. For our children in the school, this means a lot because the area that we're in is about 80% Islamic and very poor. These people don't really have a whole lot out there and they can't afford the basic school fees to go. So we want to be able to provide a scholarship for those children who can't afford the school fees. We have girls in that community that are, they're forced into a child marriage at age 10, 11, 12 years old, once they become a woman. And so in order for us to protect these girls and to keep them from going into these child marriages, so we can educate their families on, what it means to properly take care of your children and how that is harmful to your child. And, we want to be able to keep those girls in that school. If they're in school, it keeps them from being married off. And so we are focusing our scholarships towards some of these girls so that they have the opportunity to get a good education so that when they leave school one day, that they can actually get a good job. They can serve some way with some skill of some sort that will be beneficial to their lives in the future instead of having to raise a baby at age 10, a baby at age 11. And so we encourage people to sponsor the school so that we can bring in those girls and those children into the school to provide a better lifestyle for them.
Amen. So if somebody was to go, give us the 30-second version of how can someone, I sound like Chris now when I say that. Give me the 30-second version of how someone can serve, come and serve with your ministry maybe on a short-term trip.
Yeah, we have people that come May through July, generally in the summertime. They come for about 2 weeks, and they can come and serve in the homes, learn how to live like the Ugandans do, and cooking and cleaning. You can come and serve in the school, teaching them with the schools. You can run a pastoral training center and do teach over 200 pastors over a couple days course. You can do run a medical clinic. We have many different opportunities. You can even come and build a mud hut if you'd like to for somebody in the village who doesn't have a house. So we have lots of opportunities for those that want to come and serve with us.
Amen. So the need is great.
Very, yes.
All right. Well, let me pray for you guys. Father, I do thank you for Melissa and Ivan. God, I thank you for the work that they are doing. 800 children. What a burden. But God, would you give them the strength, give them the partnerships they need to continue to serve these? And thank you again for a testimony of Ivan, who was touched by the life of someone who said yes to you. And years later, now this disciple is making other disciples. That's what it's all about, Lord. Thank you for shining your light through this man in Texas and now continuing to shine your light through the Makulu family. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for him and pray for strength for the days ahead in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, y'all. Speaking of y'all, Jan and Elizabeth, would you come up here? Jan, I know that you have been working on your southern accent, and we are ready to hear it. Come on now. Mm-hmm. No, sit first. Hey. Hello. Let's hear it, Jan.
Hey, y'all, how are y'all doing? I'm from Alabama.
Give me that back. All right, so we have now sent over 40 different people to serve in the Dominican Republic with Crossover Cups mission. And I believe we've seen some significant change in recent days since you guys have arrived to the DR in your lives. So could you tell us a little bit about the new work in La Union Abajo?
Yes, La Union Abajo is basically the community where the people live that work every day at the garbage dump in the Dominican Republic. And that was our main purpose when we moved down there to take the lead on the garbage dump ministry. I'm a professional garbage officer, something like that. And
I could say something, but I'm not
No. Pastor Chris is watching. Don't do that. You already fired twice in 2 days.
Thank you.
Stay low, roll tide. Sorry. Anyway, where are we? Albertville. Garbage dump, yes. So what we've been doing, when we got there 2.5 years ago, the CAPS mission was going once a week with some soup to the dump and feeding them. And because shortage of people like you and I who can come and live and work and serve, that's all they could do at the time. Well, we came with a dump calling, so to speak. And when we came, we've been increasing that program. Now we go 5 days a week to the garbage dump. It goes year-round. We almost don't stop. And we bring 250 gallons of cold, clean drinking water for them. Soup several times a week, a few hundred bananas, peanut butter sandwiches, no jelly, and lots of other things. That's the physical food that we bring. But because we were at the dump, we started to make friendships with a lot of people, of course, and we gained their trust. And some people come in and out, and then you never see them again. Or some people come in, take some pictures, and start a website fundraiser, and they've never seen anything of it. So there's tricks being played all over the world, I'm sure. But we've been very consistent, and they know we are there because Jesus loves them, and that's why we are there too. And out of those relationships, one day one of the guys was sick, and we asked, oh, where's Kennedy? Oh, he's sick. Oh, and then we started wondering, where do they actually live? And very naturally, not even really planned, to be honest, we started to go into their community, and we found a lot of misery. Very poor. And they walk about 20 to 40 minutes to their houses, which is not really a house. They rent it for a few dollars a month. Many of them cannot even pay that. And when we got into the community, we started to do one-on-one home visits, praying with people. And some of the tough guys at the garbage dump that are one of the bosses there, because they have a big mouth. You're not a boss by appointment. The biggest mouth is really the boss there. That's how it works. That sounds familiar? No, maybe not. That was not about you, by the way. I do want to clarify. Now I'm fired too.
Was he talking about you?
Let's go together to the dump. And these guys at the dump, big mouth and, you know, not good. In his house, tears in his eyes, hearing to his life story, alcohol problem, the few dollars he makes in a week, he's drinking away in the weekend to try to forget his misery, but he wants to quit it and doesn't know how. Those type of things, you know, very sad stories. Lots of broken families, drugs and alcohol abuse. Some of the ladies work on the streets to sell themselves as a prostitute just to make money. And that's the environment of the village where we work. But really special thanks to particularly your church here. We've received a lot of financial help to get a lot of kids from the dump going to school, which was not an easy process. You would think the parents would be happy and send them, you know, as soon as they get the offer. And they said, no, we need them to help finding bottles at the dump, because then we have more more recycling bottles and we make more money. But it took us a while to convince the parents that, look, do you want them to grow up here? Do you want to be here? No, I have no choice. Well, then start with your children. Break that generational stuff, you know. So we have over 40 kids currently in school, and that's an interesting program. Not every child is away from the dump yet, but we honestly, 90%. It's really awesome. That's been such a blessing. And you guys have been a vital, vital part financially also in that part. So thank you for that.
So what would you say the greatest need that you would like to see God meet in recent days or in the coming days? What is the greatest need?
What would you say?
I would say pray for the people to know Jesus.
Well, yes. Pray for the people to get to know Jesus at a personal level.
Amen.
See, in the Spanish language, there's two verbs for the verb to know. One is conocer and one is saber. Saber is really at a simple level. Oh, I know this. I know the bus goes at that time and this and that. Conocer is intimate. It's personal. It's relationship. Everybody saber about Jesus, but the conocer part, they don't want to do it. Mm. There's times that we go home crying, and we know that, and they know the truth. We don't need to stand there with a big speaker and Jesus saves and this and that. We don't need to go over the Bible and smash them on the head and say, hey, without Jesus you go to hell. I mean, it's that black and white. This is the Bible, guys. They know, but they often don't want to make that choice. And that is our biggest desire, to see really the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. We learned it the hard way. I am not a savior. My wife is not a savior. And that's sometimes hard, but it's a personal choice. So we want to cultivate the mindset of the people to come towards a decision. But you know, in the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit conviction. So we pray for that, and pray for that with us, please. That's the most important part.
Amen. So I know personally for your family, you have a 12-year-old daughter who needs a tutor, and you have a tutor coming in the months ahead that will really help her education and her and your mission field as a family. So we're going to pray right now for you guys, but I wanted to mention that so you knew specifically how to pray for this family. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for the work that is happening in the Dominican. Thank you for the Tenier family and how you're using them in so many different ways. God, I thank you for Jan and Elizabeth and their daughter Bella, their desire to serve you. God, I pray that you'd give them the encouragement they need to continue this dump ministry and to continue working with the ladies of the street in the evenings and to continue to reach these children and get them the proper education so that they don't end up living in the dump the rest of their lives. And God, most of all, just like here in the United States, God, give them the words and the wisdom to help people to understand this personal relationship with a Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you again for this ministry, for CUPS, and all that they're doing. We pray your blessings upon them in the days ahead, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Tuneers. Well, I'll be honest. I wish we had time to hear from every one of our guest missionaries on the stage. I'd love to hear from Ty. I'd love to hear from Courtney. Love to hear from Charles Price. But for time's sake, I think you've heard they have one thing in common. When we see all these guest missionaries, their desire is to be the hands and feet of Jesus everywhere God calls them. These folks had enough to say, or had enough sense to say no to their pride a long time ago to be able to say, Lord, send me where you want me, not where it's most comfortable. So the prayer of each of these people is that the light of Jesus would shine brightly through their actions and through their words. And cannot not be said of every one of us today, that we would shine brightly where the Lord calls us and where the Lord plants us. Before we continue with a song, and I'm thankful for Patrick who's come, that's Chris's brother Patrick Johnson, who's helping lead us in worship today. Let me remind us that we're asking you to pray more, to give more, and to go more than you ever have as God calls you. And we're talking about giving above and beyond your regular giving here in our church. That's what Advance 2020 is for, that we would give above and beyond and be consistent and regular in our giving to impact the world. Even if we can't go, we can send resources. This is our calling. You and I are missionaries to a world in need. Albertville, Marshall County, the United States, and all around the world. So our prayer as a church family is that we would take serious the call for us to be the light of the world. Let them see Jesus in you. Let me say thank you to those who are watching online or listening on the radio. A broadcast is going to end now because for the remainder of the service, the live stream will stop, and I'll wait for the signal from you guys.